OK. Are we on? Yes, we are. Topic today is we're going to continue on application testing. And we'll spend most of this hour, I guess, on going through the database application testing. So what's the difference between database application and application testing in general? It's a little bit about data, but we'll come back to that. Before we start, I put up a note on Blackboard yesterday. So we found a couple of problems using Codeception the way I was planning to. Number one is if you're trying to use the expect exception method that is offered, it won't work. It seems to crash inside PHP unit, which is being used by Codeception, if we try to pass a book object. So if we have a call that's just passing a string, it works fine. But if it into like add or modify or delete, or no, sorry, add or modify, where we pass a book object, it crashes. So then we have to do the old trick for finding if an exception is being sent or being thrown. And this is what you put up. So basically what you do is that you try to add something to the model. Works fine. And there are two outcomes. Either this one works. If adding works, in this case it shouldn't work. In this case we want it to be an invalid argument exception, because this is where we try to pass an invalid ID, and we want it to fail with invalid argument exception. But if it doesn't do, if it doesn't send an exception, then after adding the book, it would go to this statement. And what does it say? It says that it asserts that null is an instance of invalid argument exception. Obviously, it's not. Null is not. So this will cause this test to fail. And the message would be that null is not an invalid argument exception. It's not a perfect explanation, because the explanation we would like to see is that we would want to see, we can have added it as a parameter. What we would want to see is that we expected an invalid argument exception and it didn't throw an exception. And this then will cause it to fail. If, on the other hand, if we did get the invalid exceptions, then this would break here and we would go into the catch statement, which is not going to do anything. It just continues, which is normal behavior. That's what you want. This reminds me, I've been seeing quite a few in the lab who has done what is being recommended in the PDO tutorial, which is to have try and catch around all the PDO statements. But we don't want the database model to catch any PDO exceptions. We want the controller to catch it, because the controller, if it gets a PDO exception, we will pass an error message to the user. The DB model can't do anything with exceptions. The controller can, because the controller can tell the user something went wrong and tell the user what it might be or what the issue was. So we can't catch the exceptions inside DB model. We just let the exceptions pass through and have the controller take care of exceptions. So if you started adding try and catch around statements in your DB model, just remove them. Let whatever error happens, let the controller deal with it. In our case, because we have that architecture. If you didn't have the architecture, you would want to clean up at the point where you can clean up, but that might be in the place where you access the database. But in our case, that's not where we can clean up, because the database model can't do anything. It's just getting data. It can't tell the users anything. Question? Database model should not. It should. No. Yeah. Because if we did, then the controller couldn't take care of it. And all these tests that we have for exceptions would fail, because we test that we should get an exception, and if we are catching the exception inside DBMOL, the test program would fail as well, because it's designed to catch an exception or get an exception. Oops, sorry. What I wanted to do was to do this. Okay, so what we're going to be looking at here would be the database application testing. So what we've done so far in terms of application testing is general. So that was what we would do, whatever program we would like to test. We will have unit tests to test each one of the functions. We will have acceptance tests for testing the whole app. But now when we deal with databases, we have one thing to worry about, and that is what we can call fixtures, meaning what is our starting point? If we have a function, let's say, like the one we had yesterday, so we talked about you send the number of hours you've been working and your hourly salary, and it will compute how much you earned that day. Such a function, we can just provide the number of hours, and we provide the hourly rate, and we can compute. And our test can then just give various combinations of salary and amount of or number of hours worked, and we can test that the result is as you would expect. But when we deal with databases, the problem is that database has a persistent state. It means that we have something stored in the database, and we need to be in control of it, because what we see in the database is not just the outcome of the method we invoked, but is that on top of the initial state. You remember we had the diagram with we can go back to that from yesterday. So if we go back to this diagram, let's see here. Initial state. In a database application, the initial state is that we have rows in the database. Or maybe our initial state is that we have no rows. The point is that we need to know before every test what is the state of the database. And that's where it's convenient for us to use Codeception, because Codeception will deal with the state for us. If you remember, if you go to, let's see, do I have it here? If we go to the setup, let's see. I want to go. There you go. No. If you go to the tests, and in the YAML file, we say, where is the database? And a dump. What is this dump file? It's an SQL file that tells us how the database should look like for every single test. So this is the known state. This is our initial state. Is that this state that's in here, that's where we find the state. So if you go to data, this is the SQL file. And we find that if there is a table book, we're going to drop it because we want to create a new one, the one that we're testing on. And in here, we want to insert three rows. ID 1, 2, and 3. That's what we're going to do for every test. So those are the fixtures. We're going to come back to them. Let's first look at how the setup should be. Because now that we deal with database applications, we want to make sure that we don't break the application, because most likely we have our application out and running, customers are using our database, and we're going to upgrade it. We're going to change some of the functionality. We're going to develop the new functionality. So we can't fiddle around with the production system because it's out there having customers. So what we want to do is to make sure that testing happens locally first, and only when it works properly, we're going to deploy it onto the server. So this is how I suggest projects are being set up, and some of you are working on files directly on HD docs, which is not so good idea because that's the production system. So you should have some directory where you keep your source files and a special database. So now we created a test database, and you would typically run your application on a different database, the real one, where you have the real data. So think of this, you have two systems. One is where you have customers, and the other one is one you're developing. And you don't want to mess up with the customer database. You only want to mess up with the test database. And then you test and test and test, and when you have a good system, then you put that one, the system, onto the production database so that all the users can see it. But as you are in the production, you are on your own machine, and you are developing, and you are testing everything on your own database. Then, when you think everything is working, you need to run acceptance tests and see that it works. So that's where we have the test deployment. Means that we take all those files that we have modified, we copy them to the server where we have a test server. Again, we don't want to mess around with the real system yet until we run the acceptance tests. And now we run the test on the test server that's still using the test database. You follow me? So this way, we can test that all the application works as it's supposed to, but on the test database. So if something fails, we're not ruining, again, the production system. When we pass the acceptance tests, then we can deploy, and we copy all this, the files that are the PHP scripts to the real production server that is accessing the production database. To make sure that we don't make any problems to our customers as long as we develop and test. Only after all the acceptance tests have passed and we agree that it's ready to roll out, we will do the final deployment. When we develop, we want to do unit testing as we develop to make sure that our modules work. And when we develop all the modules and hope the application works, we need to run acceptance tests. We need to deploy it, but we deploy it on a test server. On the test server, we run all the tests, and then we can deploy it on the real server, and this one is going to use then the real database. So that's kind of the three steps we have. So, as I was saying, the big challenge here is that we need to deal with a separate database, not to mess up with the customers. We need to know the exact state of the database, because when we add something, we want to know how many would be there after we added it, and what would be the ID of the newly added object, so that we could test that it was really added at the end. Testing the output state can also be complex. So if you update, in our case, it's not too complex, but if you update many tables, or one update may trigger some functions that update other tables, and we need to know the whole state, it may be more work. And when we run one test, we want to remove the effects so that the next test is starting from a fresh database again. Why is that? Because otherwise, we need to keep remembering what is the state now, and if one test failed, then we don't know what the state it is. So to make the tests independent, we would like to start every test from a fresh state. And in that fresh state, we know exactly what the database is going to look like. And we know what the operation is supposed to do. And then we know what the outcome should be, what the state of the database at the very end should be like. For most other applications, you don't need that. Because, I mean, you only need the number of hours and the salary. You don't need to know anything in history, because those are the things you need to make sure the function computing the total salary for the day would require. So, solutions that test frameworks will give you, we could call them fixtures. Fixture is then a fixed set of or a fixed set of rows in our database. These are always there when we run our tests. That's very convenient, because for every test, in our case, we have these three books. They're always there. So when we add a book, we know that the three are already there. When we delete a book, we know that we can delete one of those three. When we modify a book, we know that we can modify one of those three. So we know exactly what's there. And we know if modification works, because then the new values should be on the modified object. So we don't have to mess around with trying to insert something and then remove afterwards to make sure that it's all cleaned up. No, we leave that to the framework. And for testing the outcome, we also have some database-specific assertions where we can see what was the result on the database. So we don't have to ask for objects and test object states. We just have to ask in the database, was this row inserted? How big is the table now? What is in the table? We can query for that. So, fixture. With fixture, the process is this. We clean up the test database, we set up the fixture, we run the test, we verify the outcome, and then we tear down. So let me see if... if this one works today. So, whenever we do a test, where would the test start? What is happening? Have you thought about it? How does a test start? What do we do? We write vendor bin concept. So, codeception starts. Let's see. The first thing it does is that it goes to the database and installs our new database. We have the SQL script. It runs the script, which means that the old book table is deleted, and it creates a new book table, inserts our three rows. What's the next thing Codeception is going to do? It's going to go to this test file, and it's going to find the first public method that is a test method, and it's going to invoke it. What are we typically doing in a test? First thing we do is that we go to Codeception to say, I am on the page. I'm on page. That's typically our starting point. And then on the page, Codeception would act as a browser and will go there. So let's put up what this is. This is running the what's called the populator. So the populator is run here to populate the database, to set up all the fixtures in the database. And then we here, we do run a test. And then the first test is typically starting with am on page. And am on page will typically do a get, not to the DB model, where is my controller? That is not, okay, sorry, this is, these were unit tests. Okay, then there will be something different. But let's go to, this will be the same for the acceptance tests, because acceptance tests will also run on the clean database. So let's say that this is controller. And this is the DB model. And then the controller would typically either get collection, sorry, get book collection, or get book by ID, or do something. And then when it returns with something here, so in the end we get, after a long while, we get, the controller will return a page to the book collection test. Not to confuse everyone, let me just do CEST here, because it's the, actually, we are in the acceptance test. What's what I started doing? We get the page, and after the page, we can run all our I see, or I don't see. If, so this is the, this is typical for the database. If this was not the test, if this was the test, then there wouldn't be the controller there. We just, yeah, the controller can be there, but it's not going to be the controller. The test is then not, let's just delete, let's see, delete the whole thing. Because the test is then going to, then our test is going to go straight to the DB model. We're going to create a new DB model, and we're going to, for instance, have get book list, and sorry, this this should have been the other way around. Oops, sorry. Because the tests go to conception. And now these are the asserts. Oops. Oh, no, it should be that. Shouldn't be this way? Yeah. It's not going to turn around. Okay. So you follow me? In the unit test case, the codeception is first going to clean up the database, then it's going to run a test. In this case, it may be get the book list, the DB model will go to the database, generate the book list, return the book list to the test, and we will ask, so I can just the missing, I'm skipping going to the database here, but you get the book list back, and then we use codeception to assert, so in this case there will be not IC, but assert. So I would assert that the book list has three elements. The first book is having ID 1. And then when the first test is over, we go to the very beginning again. Then codeception, we go to MariaDB and clean up the database, set up the new test database, and we will run the next test, and that will probably then get one book, get book by ID, and we will test the values. Then it will go up and clean up the database. It will run the next test, which might be add book. It will try to add the book to the database, and then it will see what is the state of the database. So some of these tests I could show that probably. So some of these tests is see number of records. If we call on the tester, you remember inside this we have a link to the tester, and the tester is Codeception. And the Codeception tester has the C number of records method or assertion. And this one, oops, that was the wrong one. We'll again go to the database to see that what are the number of records in the database. So typically here there will be select count star something to the database to see how many records is in the database, and then we get the number return. So this is how Codeception works with our test, and our test work with the DB model. Do you follow it? Take it from the beginning. For one test, we start by the populator going to the database to clean up. We run the test. Let's make this into the other test. Add the book. In the add book, then of course there is also the DB model will talk to PDO so that a book is added to the data. So, oops. So the DB model will get in touch with the PDO and execute an insert statement. And when it returns, we have the book object being stored in the database, and we can make sure that it has the right ID, we can make sure that it is okay, and then we can go and see how many rows do we have in the database. The Codeception will now actually go to the database and ask for it, and we get the number. And we expect that to be one more, since we start with 3, after we add the book, we expect it to be 4. So we could test for that in our code. Is that clear? You see the kind of connection between the parts? Or is it still magic what's happening in our test files and how everything works? So we have the 3 parts. One is Codeception. Codeception is really running the show. And then we have our test files, where we specify what the test is supposed to be. And then we have our application. And Codeception is before every run, it goes to the database, cleans it up, and then you run one test, cleans up the database, run the next step, cleans up the database. Sends whatever value or we get any value back here in the test, and we can use Codeception to see that the values are as expected, so that Codeception can generate the final report saying passed, failed, crashed. And Codeception may directly contact or connect to the database to get number of counts, to get what's in the database, to compare if we would like to see that. And that's what we're going to be doing next. The populator, as we saw in the test suite, either unit or acceptance test suite, we find the DB entry where we have the information about the database. Populate and cleanup we should set them to true, which means that the SQL script is run before the first test and between the tests. That's what these two mean. Yep, this is what we were just drawing. So we want Codeception to run a test. In this case, it's the acceptance test. And we are on a page, which means that we go to the controller, and the controller will do lots of stuff. Eventually, it will come down, and then we can see one or the other attributes. And we loop to a new test, which means that it's populating again. So that's the sequence. So when we write tests, each of the tests would run on a fresh database. So we don't have to worry about, do we have 4 or 3 or 5 or 2 entries? We always have the 3. They are always, like, even if we modify them in the previous test, they are still the same. A question? Sorry, why is the test? Yes, the question is, why does the test come from Codeception? Well, what I didn't show you is that in front of this, I here, as a developer, I ask Codeception to run unit tests. And when I ask to run unit tests, Codeception will run one test at a time. But outside of this picture, there is the initial, the start here is that as a developer, I go... I go here, and I just do run unit. When I run unit, then Codeception is in charge. Codeception is running through all those tests. You follow me? So what's missing here is what before the loop, there is here from the developer to Codeception, it's run unit tests. And then Codeception, as Codeception is running unit tests, it will run one test at a time. Was that clearer? Let's see, did I confuse something here? Yeah, this is for unit test. It's still Codeception. It's just that Codeception is here on the left. In the other one, Codeception was in the middle. But you see, notice here, Codeception is running the test, and Codeception is running the test. It's just that I drew Codeception here on the left rather than on the second column. But it's always Codeception that is running the test. So it's just I drew them a bit differently. In this case, the Codeception is here. It's not on the left. But this is Codeception who's running this anyway. But I started it when I said run on Codeception. A question?
When Codeception can directly access the database by passing everything, does it concern only when it asks something like aggregate data, like columns and some manipulations?
I'm not sure if I understood the question, but...
On the previous drawing, when, for example, columns, the bottom one, select columns, so it does bypass, or you said it connects directly to the database?
Yes. So the question is this select count, is it going directly to the database or is it going through our application? It's going directly to the database. So if you look at the YAML file, it gives the DSN, meaning that it gives the pointer to the database. So Codeception is going directly to the the database to ask for how many rows is in that table. And we gave in the YAML file, let me see if I have my YAML file here. In the YAML file, that's why I have to provide the username and password. That's the only way Codeception can actually go to the database, is that it needs to know this. If it went through our app, it would just need an object that had access to the database. But here, Codeception needs to connect to the database, so that's why we need to provide the username and password and the name of the database.
Yeah, No,
it doesn't care about the app.
Okay.
So Codeception's three tasks is one, to populate the database, two, to run the tests, three, to answer these IC or assert or whatever functions are here. That's the only thing it does. It doesn't deal with the application that we have other than that. So it will run the tests, it will, in the unit test case, it will respond to these questions or these functions that the user call. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Oops, I want to go. Yeah. So there will be loops where we first populate the database, and then we do the test, and then next test we populate the database, and then we do the test. Now, the database specific assertions. So one is this C number of records. So what it will do is that what we saw on this my drawing here. So when I say C number of records, the codeception will actually go to database and select a count. Just to show you that. If we do this and we say debug. Here we could see, let's see. Oops. It actually goes to the database. Select count from book where ID equals and title equals. So it does go to the database. You can see that from debug. When it doesn't show the cleanup, but it does show when we say how many the number of records, this is what it does. It goes to the database to query, bypassing, as we said, our application. And if we want to know what's in the database right now, then we can do, there are several functions, but we can, among other things, we can say, can I see in the database, in the book table, can I see a row where ID equals 4, titles equals some value that I passed, author equals some value that I passed, and description is the final value that I passed. And what conception will do here is it will actually go to database and it will select for this and see if it can find it. And if you can't find it, then it's going to give an error message because it expects to find this row in the database. Again, it's kind of bypassing. We could also test, we could get the book list from the model and test how long the book list is because the book list is going to come from the database. But by going directly to the database, we make our test independent from all the other code that we developed. So I've been through on the lab saying to quite a few of you where you need to have multiple tests for adding or for modifying an object or a book. I would suggest that you create one small function for each, because you will like the test functions to be as small as possible, as simple as possible, so that two reasons for it. Number one, you are not so likely to introduce bugs in your tests, because remember, we also had to maintain the tests. The simpler the tests are, the easier they are to maintain. If there are lots of fours and switches and lots of things in there, they tend to be harder to maintain. And number two, every test is independent from every other test because you set up the database freshly every time. So if tests are written independently, we don't have to worry about whether a previous test failed or not. So if we run the same test, add many, many books, then the outcome of one addition depends on whether the previous was successful or not. And if you would like to test which of those would fail, it will be easier to have them in separate files. But as you know, you don't want to just cut and paste code. So this means that you should probably factor out the code that would actually test, insert something and test the result into a function, and you call that function for all combinations of data. That would be a good way of doing it. If you have questions about it, just ask in the lab or send me an email or drop by me or some of the TAs. So what we also found yesterday is that CodeCeption has a problem. If you don't do what I just said, if you don't split the test in different test functions, but you have several tests in one function, you may encounter this problem. So if you add a book and you try to see the number of records, you add the number book and you try to see the number of records, you find that this add book function is not changed in the database, so it will fail. So you have two choices. Either you do, as I said before, you make two separate tests, one for this book add and one for this book add. Or if you want to do it this way, you have to add all the books first and then test the outcome second. That you could do. But in any case, you make the test more complex than what it needs to be. Comment?
So would that be viable if we just take this red one and put it on the second line? So we create all books first and then we test that?
We can definitely move this red line up, do all the tests and then test. Do all the calls first and then test afterwards. The problem is that if one of them failed, then it's a bit of bookkeeping to figure out which one failed. If one failed, the other passed. Which one failed, this is a bit of a bookkeeping and makes it harder. So the simplest is one case, one test function. So if you make it into three test functions, rather than having one that does a lot of stuff, then you make it easy for yourself, just both to develop and to test, and also to find what was the problem when the test fails. Because you don't have to decode what happened. Was it the second or the third or the first ad book that failed? You know right away. Yeah. So, like this. Say, test ad book is the one that's already there. You make a new one, which is test ad book without description. And then you make a new one, test ad book escaping special characters. Test like that. Very clear. If this one fails, we know what the problem was. It's not that the third ad book failed. You know that the case here, we tried to put in text with special characters, and it failed. So we know what that's the problem. Or we tried to put in an empty description. That should be okay, but it wasn't. It failed. Or the ad book tested in the basic case. So it's much clearer what the problem was, rather than having one that said, okay, ad book failed, and book number five is not number four. Oh, what happened? It's much harder to go into and decode what happened. So make these into small, nice functions. But of course, don't cut and paste and copy code. Don't take the code here and copy it here and copy it here. Try to factor it into a function that you call from each of those cases. So you don't have a lot of code to maintain that is copies, because copies of code easily lead into inconsistencies. If you fix one, then the two others are not fixed. So try to... Okay, in the CodeCeption manual, you find a chapter about working with data, and you find a description of the data module. And this one is quite useful to keep close to you when you work. So if you go to CodeCeption, in docs, you go to the DB module, and here you find, I don't see in the database, I grab a column from the database, I grab from the database, I grab number of records, I have something in the database, I see in the database, I see number of records. So these are the functions that I can call to test the state in the database. So just to go there and have a look at what our functions are. The ones I've been using would be the see and don't see in the database and the see number of records. Okay. I think that's about time to take a break, and after the break, we're just going to step through a case and see how far we get into understanding the whole workflow and see it playing together. Okay. So let's see if we can do this without making too much confusion. So, because what I wanted to do is to go through what would a typical development case be. Let's start by, or I did already start a little bit, by changing the app so that I do have a link on the headers. Now it's sorted on the ID, so I do have a link on title, so I can sort it on title. I do have a link of on author, so I can sort it on author. And the idea now is to add the functionality so that when I click title, it is ordered on title, not on ID. So I made the user interface, but there's no functionality. So right now, whatever I click here, it doesn't have functionality for it. I get the same page. So what I want to do is to make the database object actually sort the results, and I want to connect that to the application. Hopefully you are kind of familiar with the assignment so that you are able to follow. So this is the DB model. The first thing I should do is to write a test for it. So I will want to be able to, let's see, something like test get book list. So let me just copy this one. See, say I would like to have something similar to this. But in the get book list, I would like to sort this on author. Okay, and I don't worry about the ID, but I don't worry about the content because I assume that the first test has test for content. So the only thing I want to worry about now is we can delete that one. I want to check that I get data in the right order. What is the right order? Well, if I order this, then V, W, and then R after J, so it should be 3, 2, 1. You agree? If this was sorted on author, I should see this one first, and then this one, U, V, and then W, and then R after J, so I should have the other. So my test, so let's call it author ordered book list, sort by order, by author, and then I should have three, it's not necessary because this have we been testing before. The one I want to know is that the order is changed. You agree with me? That's kind of what we would like to see. We'd like to have it ordered. Now, what's the next step? The next step is to say, okay, let's hope magic works and that this is actually implemented. Oops, I don't have to have the debug. Nope. Book collection test get author ordered book list. Didn't work. Failed asserting that one matches three. So the first one was book number one, and I expected it to be book number three. So then we need to go into the, let's see here, into the DB model. And in DB model, there is no sorting option. So what I need to do is I say order by. I would like to have an order by here. Now this is inheriting abstract model, and let me say that order by the default is ID. Now since it's inheriting the abstract model, I need to have the same signature here, abstract model, order by. So now at least I can get the book list order by, but there is no functionality yet. So how can we get it ordered? Any suggestions? Here it says order by ID. But that's not what I want. I would like to have order by. So if I do order by, are we happy with this? Because, yeah, question. The user could eject something. Yes, we would like to be in control of what goes in there. And we don't necessarily want to do, we don't want to do a prepared statement here, because then the user can put in things that doesn't make sense to order by. So we would like to be in, let's say the policy here is that if you get anything other than author and title, we just default to ID. So what I would, the way I would solve this is that I would go to the abstract model, and I would define here at the end of the abstract model, I have a static function for verify book, and I would have a static public function parse, what do you call that, parse, we can say column, and then we could just do call name. Now, how could we do that? I said about PHP that in PHP we can switch on strings. So we can switch on call name. And if call name is title, or if call name is author, then we can return whatever we had. For the switch to work, there's one thing to be careful about, and that is to make sure that it's never been called with null. We need to have an actual string passed, so we can just do null, because then it will fail. But let's hope that we know what we're doing. So, and then default. Default is to return ID. We have that. So if you get author or title, it's going to pass through. If you get anything else, it's going to be ID, even if it's ID or blank. The thing that can make this break is if we pass an empty or a null, uninitialized. So let's make sure that we never call that parse function with anything that is null. We should probably write some documentation. Helper function for verifying column names. And we should write some more, but at least we have written a little bit here. Say what it will do and don't do. Now, what should we do in the DB model? So before using order or using ID, we should say that order by equals self parse column. Was that what we call it? Isn't it? And then pass order by. We hope that we didn't do anything wrong. Okay, test passed. So now we believe that this is fine. We have an ordering and it works nicely. Then the question is, should we also write a test for ordered on title? Who would say yes? Who would say no? Should we have a test function for ordering a title, or should we assume that since it works for one, it should work for the other? Sorry? You would, to make 100% sure? I would tend to say no, because when we write tests, we also write the code. So it's a kind of a white box. We know what's inside. And since we know that we don't deal with these differently, we could say that it's probably not worth in this case. It's probably just adding too much to it. So I could say, you could argue for both, because, I mean, what could make this break? If the parse function is modified, it could make it break. If something else happens, it could break. But in general, since the code in the DB model, since it's just parsing it and running the same statement for both cases, I would tend to say we wouldn't have to in this case, because otherwise we'd spend all the time just writing tests. You would absolutely consider that. So actually what you would do, I think, is you would write a test for this function. You write the test for this function. What would be the cases? There would be four cases. It will be with a valid title, valid author, valid ID, and something else, and see how it behaves. So this is where we put that test, and we know that this one works, and know this is the one you call. Then you would assume that things would work. So what I would do is rather test this one. And here we can see that this one doesn't need a database for testing it. We know we have three different input, and the result would be independent of what's in the database, because this is a static function that just returns some values. But this is where I would be, if I were worried that this could break, if this had been a more complex logic in this function, I would have put a test on this function. Then you would know that, but as you said, yes, you would probably want to test that if you have something that's not an ID, it won't break the ordering. Absolutely. So, now it's time to think about the acceptance test. Because if I go here and now reload this one and I click on author, still nothing happens. Because in the model view controller, the controller sets up the view body doesn't know about the functionality in DB model to actually order the list. So we need to make sure that it will order list. And again, where do we start? Well, we start here in the acceptance test to make an acceptance test that will test that this works. And number one, what I will do is in the show book list test, what is new here now when I open up? What's new is that I have a link here. I have a link here. I don't have a link there. So the first thing I would like to do is to extend my existing test by here. So let's do the test ordering links. So do we have someone who can copy? I see link. Let's do this. So what link do I see? I want to see a link title. And what is the index? It should be, if I go here and look, when I go on title, it should be order by equals title. And here it should be order by equals author. So I should see order by title. I see link author. And what do I see there? I see the same order by, but in this case is author. And so I would like to say that I don't see and title on ID that goes to ID. Okay, now if I didn't do anything wrong, I can do, let's see, acceptance testing. And we can see it has the links, so that works fine. What doesn't work is to make sure that when we click on a book list, that it will behave nicely. So how do we do that? I need to create an all new test. Show author ordered book list. Let's make it bigger. Not the smartest, what did I do? Okay, I collapse everything. That wasn't my intention. How can I? I need to have an end. can I make the end? I need to do this. Is there anyone? End brace is collapsing everything. That was interesting. Okay, then I need to do it the hard way. Yeah. View. Let's see. Unfold all. Yeah, but so why can't I just type in? Let's do it this way then. Oh, okay, I did. There you go, thanks. Okay, so where are we? What do we want to do as a user? What do I want to do? I'm here. I want to click offer. So, and what do I want to see? The same list, but now order. So, what do? I want to be, I am on page, and on page, and which is the page? It's a standard page. And what do I do next? I click. What do I click? There is a link on author. So now we have done the setting up the state. We have the operation we like to test. What do we want the outcome to be? Let's see. There. What do I want to see? Well, pretty much the same as here. So I can just copy this. With a little bit of difference. I don't want to see author. I do want to see ID. Oops, sorry, I need to remember to remind this should be ID. This should be, I need to author. Author. Let me just redo all this. This will end up being I see. Let's rather do this. I see this link. I don't see the. Oops, I do see this one. I see this one. I don't see the author link. You agree with me? Now, if I do this, so the order was not correct. Show order, see link, no links containing ID were found. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that I can't sort on ID again here because it was never changed. What is then the next? We also need to test for the actual results. So if we go up here, we had IC let's see the book list. Where are the IDs? if I just click these ones, these are the sequences. We just need to sort them out a little bit. Because what I would like to know is that we have the books in right order. So, if you go to book, the first child should now I can actually index 3, index 2, index 1. Sorry? Yeah, that's fine, because book 1 and TR doesn't make it, because it can be there, but there's only one ID. So TR with the ID, ID will be without the TR. But that's fine. We can. I thought that would simplify it, but we'll keep what's there. So the first one should have a link to 3, the second one should have a link to 2, and the third one should have a link to 1. That's what we want to test. You agree? Because that means that we are in the right order. Okay. Hopefully that was... So it's going to be even worse. But let's see if I... Yeah. So it still doesn't have the ID. So that means we need to go to the controller. Because in the controller, I modified a little bit. So I just put a placeholder here for ID. This is the ordering field. But where do I get the ordering? When I click on it, it's going to be an anchor, so it's going to be in the get. So what do I need to do? I need to... get order by. And now we may not have a get there, we may not have an ordering. So then we'll check if it's set. And then get order by. Then we would like to do a little bit of cleanup. So let's then do order by equals, and now we have a abstract. So the abstract model. We had parse column. And if it's not set, then the default is that order by is ID. That one we can delete, and we need to pass order by here. Let's see, there is a missing parenthesis. Do we think this seems okay? I will know in a second. Nope, failed. Because this was for the book list view, but we haven't changed the get book list. So in the model, so here we have, where's the get book list? There, get book list. So it's still not called with our so now we need to order the sounds right. We can create the book list with the order by, and we have the view with the order by. No! I see link. What did we miss here? Inbox. If is set order by, and this is what we got. Let's see if we have some here. Still not. The view. This order by here. Yeah, let's go to the view. Maybe we haven't changed the view. But I think it should the book list view. Let's hope it did. So here, create title sale, title, and let's see where we have the constructor. Book list view construct order by. Order by is here. And we create title cell. And the create title cell, it is checking if this order by. That is the advantage of doing this live, isn't it? Sorry? No, no. As long as it has a value here, it should be fine. And it doesn't fail, so it finds the order by, and it passes it. Else. Oh yeah, doesn't go there. But that's absolutely right. Okay, we may need to take an early break if I don't get this, and then I need to figure out what was wrong, and then we'll reconvene tomorrow. It did work this morning. Yeah, let's just close it for the day, and I need to have a look. Shouldn't be too many places to hide. But let's, and then, because tomorrow what we'll do is that we'll find this problem and see that there's one more issue that we need to solve on the controller, and then we'll wrap up the whole database application and testing for the, and then next week, Dipti is going to come and talk about SQL and modeling and all the other stuff. Okay, sorry.